and you met him through me.
That's nonsense. I met Sebastian Rain at an art opening years ago.
At my gallery! And can you please stop saying his full name? He's a monster who uses people and leaves them for dead.
Yeah.
I hate to play the contrarian, David, but the Times and I both considered Sebastian Rain a dear friend.
Remember when he dumped you and you ate all those mall pretzels and watched Bridget Jones's Diary every day for a year?
It wasn't a whole year, and I will not feel shame about the mall pretzels.
Okay, that's enough news for today.
No, what about him?
He's coming here.
What?
Schitt's Creek fans, welcome to another episode of Shits and Giggles. We're a Schitt's Creek podcast where every other week we talk about a different episode of the series and we're going through everything in chronological order. I'm one of your two hosts. My name is Paul McCambridge, and with me as always, about to go on vacation after our recording.
Oh, yes.
Is my wife Carla. Carla, how are you?
I'm good. Going on vacation without you.
Yep.
Just the kids and me. Right, yes. Hitting the open road.
That's kind of close to what's actually happening, though.
So, I
know you're excited to talk about this episode, as we're excited to talk about every episode.
Yes.
And maybe excited to talk about how, if you had no money, and maybe your son came into some money through the Blouse Barn, I would assume that the first thing you would think is, maybe I should go gambling. I do enjoy that sort of, that plot line. And as I've said many times, like, I always forget. We know what the name of the episode is. It's Sebastian Rain. So right there, you know what the episode's about. But
yes.
I did not know this was the same one.
Oh, you didn't remember the poker gambling.
I didn't know
gambling.
Okay, I
don't know. It just sounds funny. At first, I was like, "Wait, who it is does gambling?" Sound... I was like imagining somebody at like a racetrack, like betting on horses or something. Or
maybe gambling isn't. It's just playing poker with friends.
Yeah,
low stakes poker, probably.
Yeah, I would think.
If you have to put your watch in, that's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, we're really jumping right into the beginning of this episode.
No,
I'm not
just
sure what's
saying,
happening here.
And I said several episodes ago for, you know, people that are hanging on our every word and listen to every episode.
Which is no one.
Take notes and all that great stuff. I did mention, and this is not to spoil my feeling about this episode, I mentioned that I do not like this episode.
Okay.
But I think I just meant I don't like Sebastian Rain because I didn't know it was the one with the old ladies dancing either. Like, this is, I thought all that stuff for some reason
this
happened
was a very
later.
Busy episode for every family member.
Oh, very busy, yes.
You know,
yeah,
like,
there's a lot happening.
There's definitely some that are more like a specific family member centric.
Mm-hmm.
But this, I feel like, I was kind of thinking that as we were watching it, like, and I figured you would love that about this episode because you love when everyone has a job. Everyone has a purpose. Everyone has, you know,
it's a tough
something to
thing.
Do in an episode.
It's a tough thing to do when you're, you know, when you're writing a 22 minute show.
Yeah, usually it's just a little over 22 minutes.
And when you have four main characters and you kind of have to do something, and especially when, I'm not saying what they're doing has nothing to do with what the other person's doing, but that's really tough to do. Because you think about something like, even Friends. I mean, that's six people you're managing, but it becomes easier when you can kind of pair them up and be like, two people are doing this, or half the cast is doing this.
Well, yeah, and so much on a show like that, they are all together. Like, they were either all together in the apartment or all together at the coffee house, you know.
With this, too.
Sometimes,
but
they do
in the same,
spread out a little bit more, or sometimes, as in this episode, it's kind of like Moira and David in the beginning, but then Alexis kind of shows up too,
Exactly.
But Johnny's nowhere to be seen in the beginning of the
episode.
No. He was getting all ready for his
He's probably getting that,
poker
you
date.
Know, driving sign-up sheet laminated or something,
maybe.
So you could just use whiteboard markers on it now.
Right, and then it's erasable.
Right.
But then the kids would just erase someone's name.
Because why
put theirs
keep
in.
Printing it? I know. But before we start with the episode, this is something we either have never done or haven't done in a long time.
Oh.
We get some really nice reviews that I'd like to read.
Oh.
If you leave us a review, first of all, I use Apple Podcasts, mm-hmm. even though the app is super broken now. It's ridiculous. The update is terrible. But if you leave us a review there, I will see it. If you leave us a review somewhere else, I probably won't see it, but
if you want to leave a nasty review, leave it in those other places.
Yeah, leave it in a place.
Because then right. we won't see it.
Go to Google Podcasts or right. Stitcher, so leave it there.
Leave it there. If you want to sing praises to us, right. you could do those in Apple Podcasts, yeah. and we'll see them.
Even if you don't listen on Apple, get in there just to leave us a review.
Right.
And then you don't need to use the app. No, I was going to say, if you leave us a nice review elsewhere and you want to send it to us on Facebook or link it to us or link us to it somehow, that would be great. I would love to see
that. Nobody's going
to
take the time to do that. That's a lot of work.
Okay. All right. Well, you know what? A couple people this month took the time to write us reviews.
I know, which is very nice. All right. But like going that extra step of, I wrote this, now I'm going to like copy and paste it in and send it to you.
I understand.
To stoke your egos. I don't know if that's necessary.
Okay. You know what? Don't do it, everyone. Don't review us. Don't even listen, I guess. So I will start with one that has, that talks about stuff that they like that we're not doing right now. So this
staying on track?
Yep. Uh-huh.
Yeah, 100%. Sorry.
This is from Wisco Disco Pop, which is a great name.
Sorry, Wisco Disco Pop. Yeah. We're totally like...
No, that's okay.
You know, ruining things for
Wisco
you right
Disco.
Now. But we're giving you a shout out, so maybe that makes up for it.
He or she says, I've tried every Schitt's Creek podcast I can find across multiple platforms.
What? Wow.
Okay. And this by far is the most focused.
No, that's what I meant. Like, you've listened to everything and for some reason you're saying good things about ours.
Wow. All right. Should I find another co-host after season 3? And this is the most focused and best recap podcast. Many other Schitt's Creek podcasts I've listened to had hosts that went off on sidebar conversations. And I'm happy with the focus and direction of the podcast.
Wow.
It's a great way to recap and hear more about my favorite TV show.
Well, that's very
yeah, that was
nice.
Very nice. That's a lot to
it
write.
It is very nice. As much as we joke about people mm-hmm. that write podcasts or write reviews, it's right. very nice to hear your kind words and
yeah.
that you're enjoying
no, thank
listening
you.
To it.
Yeah. This next one is from someone named Lady Maradon.
Mm.
And I can only assume Lady Maradon has been paying attention to... our posts, or I'm going to say discussions that happen in Facebook groups. She says, this podcast feels like I'm listening to my friends talk about our favorite show. It's very relaxing and also lots of fun.
Oh,
it's very nice. Also, Canada uses kilometers. So the speed limit yeah. of 50 would be approximately 31.
Yeah, I saw a recent post where people were very, it was a little bit of a heated
yeah.
post, not on our page, but on a right. Schitt's Creek page about that. Someone else questioned about the speed limit yeah. and noticed that as well.
Right.
And, you know, some people were very much like, you should know that. And they yeah. film it in Canada. And it's like, even though we know they film it in Canada and, you know, I when you live in the U.S., like, I
oh,
know
no, no,
it's
no.
in Canada,
yes.
but mm. it just, it doesn't always occur, you know, like, you just don't instantly think of that kilometer
mm-hmm.
thing
no.
at all. Like,
yep.
that's not something that even entered my mind at first
oh,
when I saw
right.
it.
Right. And again, I mean, I don't want to say we're doing this on the cuff, because we do take notes, but
oh, yeah.
also we're sitting down here, if we can carve out an hour every 2
when
weeks.
When our kids won't bother us.
So
right.
no, but I don't mind if people point out those issues and
oh, yeah.
oversights. I'm
no,
I'm more than
yeah.
happy because
yeah.
the moment I saw that, I was like, oh yeah, that
I know.
How did
of
we
course.
Not think
yeah.
of that?
But, yeah, and I was like, well, right, you know, they are of course they're filming in Canada, but then it's also like we don't know where Schitt's Creek is.
Set.
So,
right.
you know, like they never
of course.
You know, I mean, we know that's where they film, but they have never truly
right.
identified that is the location
mm-hmm.
of the actual town in the show.
Right.
So, you know,
and
like
I'm gonna
that
say,
didn't enter into my thoughts.
I'm going to say it's time to put that conversation to bed. And on this podcast, I feel like we could talk about miles per hour versus kilometers every episode, but I don't think that's what people want to hear. So,
done.
It's all right. So let's talk about the episode. It's the 10th episode of season 3 called Sebastian Rain. It originally aired on March 14th of 2017. Directed by T.W. Peacock. We've been hearing his name a lot this season. And it is written by Kevin White, who we've heard from before. He directs he writes two more episodes of the series. And I did just take note on his IMDb that since Kim's Convenience has ended, he currently writes for a show called Strays. So okay. I guess if there are updates that I come across, I will make those clear if we're talking about directors, writers, people we've talked about before.
Sure.
All right, so let's get into it because Moira's yelling that she's got big news.
Exciting news. Mm-hmm. Totally.
And to touch on things that we've talked about in this series and stuff that's happened in the series, I love how they both run into the room and she acknowledges David and not Alexis.
So, Moira shares the exciting news that Sebastian Rain is coming to town. Right. It's like Santa Claus.
Well, it is great because it's, yeah, she's announcing that he's there, but talking to them as though they wouldn't know who he is or probably don't remember him.
Yeah,
but this
maybe.
Is when David's like, you mean my ex.
Right.
They dated for 4 months.
Oh, but who was it? Was it Alexis that said, oh, you dated for like a month and a half?
Yeah, a month and a half.
And then he clarifies that it was 3 months, four if you count the amount of time or the time that he was dating other people.
Right, yes.
And of course, this is one of the iconic lines.
Okay.
In this show. It's super popular. People drop this line all the time. Alexa said, she said, you know, don't you remember when he dumped him and he just ate mall pretzels and watched Bridget Jones's Diary for a year? And then the iconic line when David says, I will not feel shame about the mall pretzels.
Wow.
That's a big line.
I really didn't know that.
Yeah. I think I don't know. Anytime I go to, I see Annie Ann's, I just think of mall pretzels.
So it's iconic.
I got some not long ago. The girls and I were shopping. And I feel like people throw that line around a lot. I will not feel shame about the mall pretzels.
Okay. No, it's good to know.
I love that line.
The exchange and everything he's saying or she's saying and then he's responding to is very funny. I didn't know it was as iconic.
Maybe iconic isn't the right word. I don't know. Right. I think it's like one of those lines that people know and throw around.
Okay.
And like I would say it in, you know, if I was in line at Annie Ann's.
Yeah. And if you're going to get this, I'm going to say put on a mug or a koozie. Mm-hmm. Don't forget that they spell pretzels the same in Canada as they do here in the U.S. Remember the guy who got the thing Pelicans was spelled wrong?
Yes.
And
yes.
I felt really bad because I was like, I think it's spelled the same. Like, uh-huh. Oh, what a shame.
Yeah.
So David's, we do find out, again, David's ex is coming. Mm-hmm. He's talking to... He goes into the office because we cut to the office.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so go ahead.
I was going to say Stevie's
playing
lookout. Well,
they also, though, before we get to the office, they also made it a specific point to say that he is coming to Moira.
Oh, yes.
Which is important, I think, in this episode, that he is coming to her instead of her going, to New York to
right.
him.
Right, yes.
That he's coming to Schitt's Creek, which is sort of a big deal.
So, yeah, they make it a point, or Moira makes it a point to say that he could have flown her to New York, which would have been easier, but he decided to come here.
Right, yeah.
And...
But he needed to go there.
Yeah.
He wanted to go there because whole,
Right, yeah. So motive. He kind of wants to shoot her in her natural environment now, or...
Yeah.
I don't know how to quite describe that, but yes... And in case we didn't mention, I guess he is a world-renowned photographer?
Oh, I don't know.
I mean, he was just shooting Madonna's anti-portrait series, whatever that means.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess he's fairly well-known?
Yeah, I guess so. And I wasn't sure if, when he's talking about Madonna and stuff, if that was true or if that's him pretending that he's more of a big deal than he is. I don't know, because yeah. it's not like we get a whole lot about this character and the backstory and everything.
Yeah.
But he's a big enough deal mm-hmm. where him coming is a big deal to her.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So now we kind of, yeah, as you were saying, we go into the office. Right. Stevie is given the task of keeping watch.
Yeah.
Sort of for him to arrive, because David is just all David. Yes. He's being David.
Exactly.
He's, you know, anxious and
I don't know why he thinks that he's coming to the motel, because Moira seems very surprised.
He wasn't really supposed to come there.
Exactly.
It seemed like, yeah. Because later on, she makes a comment and says, oh, you were there. You were at the motel. Exactly. You weren't, like, I thought you were just, mm-hmm. you know, later they meet at the cafe. And that's yes. where she assumed that he would be coming.
But Sebastian does show up
and
in some sort of sweater with big hair.
Yeah, David commented and he said, is he wearing a sweater? Because Stevie's like, I think he's here yes. or it looks like he's here. And, you know, he commented about, is he wearing a sweater?
Mm-hmm.
And asked if he looked handsome-y in a homeless sort of way, right. which I thought was a really funny way to describe that.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And he is a charmer, should we say? Like, I don't quite understand.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd say charmer. I don't know.
It's very...
I feel like he's very, like, nonchalant. Like, oh, not... No,
super yeah, laid like, back.
Yeah, but not... I don't know.
And I don't know if it's flaky or... Focus. Those are two very different things. But he's sort of he's in his own world. He's artistic, he's in his own mind. I guess.
Right. Yeah.
But I don't know if it's something where he's always thinking about photography or how much of that is an act. Just the amount of times he's like, oh, the way the light is hit and all of that.
Yeah.
I just don't know if that's
legit
or right. That's what I can't figure out about this character.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you want to tell us a little bit more about him?
Oh, yeah,
are we at that point yet? Since now he's come in and he's been introduced.
Yeah, no. Sebastian Rain is played by. Okay, here we go. We're getting very French. François Arnaud.
Mm.
I'm going to go with that.
My French is non-existent, so.
Oh, okay. All right. So you're not going to be able to.
I can't even say I'm rusty because.
That's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine. His first IMDb credit was in 2007. He was in a really, really great movie called I Killed My Mother, which is really fantastic. But, you know, we don't go into too much description of what these movies and TV shows are about.
Mm-hmm.
He was a semi-regular in the series The Borgias. I don't know if it was HBO or Cinemax or Showtime. It was one of those things that I feel like around the time of Game of Thrones, where I was like, well, maybe we could just have a lot of shows like way back when. I know Game of Thrones isn't in a real place, but I think it has
some historical
It's like a costume kind of period drama. So since Schitt's Creek, he's been a regular on the series Blindspot and the series The Moodies. Mm-hmm. And he's got several films in post-production. Lots of things marked.
Yeah, I feel like he's doing a lot of things recently.
He really is. Yeah. And he's done a whole lot. I'm just picking out, you know, bits and pieces in here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he is going to, he would like to stay at the motel.
Oh, yes. He comments that David looks healthy.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. And then it gets introduced to Stevie,
mm-hmm.
who said she owns the motel. She's not David's girlfriend, because he assumes, he makes the assumption that she's his girlfriend. And she's like, no, I'm not his girlfriend. Actually, she's like, I own the motel. So I'm more like his landlord.
Yeah, that's pretty great.
Which was kind of funny. Stevie being Stevie.
Yep.
You know, we always love when she gets like her little, you know, her sarcasm
in there. And again, like his terminology, when he says that he would like to Polaroid Stevie naked someday. Like, what a weird choice of words. Like, using a Polaroid camera, I mean, that could be a stylistic choice, I guess.
But maybe he's using one of those little Instax cameras like our kids have. That's like the little teeny tiny Polaroids.
Yeah. Who advertised those? Taylor Swift? Is she the one that made that such a big deal?
Oh, I don't know.
I think she did.
Was she?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know. I just knew. Yeah, our kids have them.
He's just got a ton of those in his bags.
Maybe. He just like pulls out like the blue one or the green one and snaps a picture.
Just depending on what mood he's in.
Well, right.
Yeah. But now we can cut to Moira at the cafe.
Right.
Waiting, because that's where they were supposed to meet.
Supposed to meet, right. Because she was caught off guard that he had come from the motel. Because she said, oh, I thought you were coming right here, as we, you know, mentioned before. And, yeah, she invited him to one of her favorite local dives.
It's, you're right. It's so, you know, and we still see this because she and Johnny had that, you know, they met that couple and everything like that at dinner. And, you know, Johnny defended Roland in the town and everything like that. And Moira kind of kept quiet.
Right.
The outskirts didn't really speak up. Yeah, and you can still see that she just doesn't. She still isn't
comfortable and has some embarrassment. Yeah, she's over still her trying to come to terms.
Yeah, and
season 3, episode 10, she's still trying to come to terms. I don't. Yeah.
Yeah. The way that she's interacting with him seems a little bit strange, because by this time he has to understand their situation. Of course, it's the whole reason he's there.
Yeah.
Everyone that they used to know understands their situation, and she seems to be playing it off like, "Oh, this is just my summer home or something."
Right,
like,
yeah.
Like, she does not, everything is a joke, but everything is sort of the way she interacts with him, intentional. Like, they intended to be here. This was not as terrible as it may seem. And I don't know. I guess it's just really difficult for her to accept everything happened.
And it, yeah. More so than some others. Yeah. I like how she asks him if he wants a Sancochino. Because that sounds super yummy.
Yep.
I wonder if that's better than the Harvest Smoothie, or
it has Twyla's to be better, Harvest because you smoothie. Would assume that no one would recommend that smoothie to anyone.
Yeah.
But she is recommending the Sancochino, which sounds adorable.
Yeah. Yes.
But he doesn't really want to stick around there. He wants to walk and talk. He wants to just kind
explore the town.
Yeah.
See her in, as you said, her natural environment.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I did feel that this scene was missing Twyla coming up and saying something.
Mm-hmm.
Just, I would have liked to have seen the most brief interaction between she and Sebastian Rain.
Yeah, she could come and tell some kind of story about a family member.
Of course, yes. And he would then want to photograph that family member.
Yeah, that would have been cute.
So.
Definitely.
So now, Alexis and Ted are talking.
Off to the vet clinic.
Right. Okay. Alexis needs to do volunteer work in order to graduate now as well. Is this part of an economics project?
I don't know. Okay. I don't know. Yeah, that is a little bit unusual. Usually, sometimes, like, if you're in clubs, like, if you do, like, Key Club or you're an honor society or something like that, they have to fulfill hours for volunteer time, like honor society and stuff does. I can't imagine.
I'd like to think that Jocelyn,
she's part of that. But
I'd like to think that Jocelyn was like, you showed up halfway through the school year.
Right.
I'll let the first half go if you just do some volunteer work.
Yeah.
So she actually just tries to get Ted to sign off on her actual job.
Her employment. Right.
As being volunteer work, but
right.
he will not do this.
Yeah, because she said, you know, like, her community service was court ordered, so that can't
that
count.
Doesn't count.
So she needs some volunteer hours. And Ted, being the good guy that he is like, no, I'm not going to just enable you to, you know, have
exactly.
it for working here.
Yes. And we all know where this is going. Mm-hmm. I assume people who have not watched this series are not listening to this. Mm-hmm. But it does seem, like, I like that she's talking to Ted about this, but it does seem funny that she just doesn't go to Ronnie and be like, hey, can I just, yeah, I know she doesn't want to do it.
Yeah.
But that seems like what she should be doing right now. But Ted has a better idea.
Mm-hmm.
And mentions that he volunteers.
He works with seniors.
Right.
Right. So he said, you know, maybe that's something that you can come and be involved and play a part in that. To which then she answers, she really is a thing with skin tags and old smell.
Right.
So she's not too into working with.
It doesn't seem as though she's into this
senior citizens. Yeah.
Right.
And then he mentions that he has a dance class that he's going to dance with them.
Yeah.
And then, of course, she's like, ooh, that would mean I have to touch them.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. But this would certainly help fulfill her volunteer hours.
Sure.
So why not?
Yeah. Yeah, so she's, I guess,
on
kind
board
of on board. I don't know. Because
she doesn't have a choice?
Yeah, I think that's what it is. Because the way that this scene ends does not seem like you would suddenly cut to her in, I'm going to say, a basement? I don't know where they are dancing.
Yeah,
but she does not seem to be interested in this at all.
Yeah.
But let's go back to the cafe. We're suddenly jumping right back to the cafe. And I guess Johnny and Moira, just missed each other.
Yeah.
Because Johnny's just, you know, having a great, I'm going to say, breakfast.
Or,
at the cafe.
Or lunch. I don't
know.
Yeah, with Roland.
Right. Roland comes in.
Yeah.
And basically seems freaked out that Bob is there. And he wants Johnny to make up excuses
as to why they can't
get together.
Get together for a poker night. He's like, Bob wants to have his poker night, and I don't want to do it.
Yep. The final excuse that he comes up with is great, where he says, tell him that you're taking me to get a haircut. It's really great. And he's all slumped down in the booth. But, of course, you can't get away from Bob.
No. But Johnny is not even... He's into this whole idea. As soon as he hears poker, you said, he's like, well, I wouldn't mind doing it.
Yeah,
and then Roland just shoots him this look.
Just the immediacy that he expresses interest in the game. Because I think Bob really does just say, we're ready to play poker again. And immediately Roland's like, I'd like to do that. That sounds great. Or sorry,
Johnny
says that.
Yeah, he wouldn't mind playing poker.
Mm-hmm.
So they make the arrangements to get together at 7.
Right, yes.
Yeah,
is there a reason given, maybe I didn't write it down or maybe it wasn't expressed, why the game was, I guess, put on pause?
I don't know.
It appears that this used to be a regular thing and for whatever reason it stopped, but now they're ready to start this up again.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
I didn't catch anything.
No, that's fine. Yeah. So now, we're very busy this episode, because now we're back with Sebastian and Moira wandering around, not even the town, they're out in a field now.
Yeah, and I'm going to call it, I feel like this is also kind of a super, I don't want to say well-known, but a super popular Moira outfit.
Yeah, I think
her,
so too.
It sounds terrible to say, but I just want to refer to it as her trash bag ensemble, because that's always what that dress reminds me of.
Yeah, I don't like I'm going to call it plastic, but it's probably not plastic.
Yeah, I know it's a super, I feel like you, it's very Moira-esque, and I feel like you see it a lot.
Well, that's what I'm...
pictures
that's
and stuff
what,
like that.
Yes, and that's what
with
I
the little,
wonder,
white... shirt almost underneath,
right.
But then it's a strapless gown.
And that's what I wonder about certain characters and certain outfits. Basically, Moira and Alexis, and even, I guess, David to a certain degree. Do they repeat outfits at all?
I don't think so.
Okay.
No, I think everything is something new.
So I guess it's just the amount of white and black that Moira wears, because in season 6, when they're walking, she's got a parasol. I wondered if she was wearing this same thing, but no, it just happens to be another white and black outfit.
I think that's something they really...
Does David repeat sweaters? Wow, really?
Mm-mm.
Okay, and Alexis probably doesn't repeat funky little dresses and stuff like that.
We see a couple of her outfits, later on, but it's because she has given things away.
Okay.
And that's why we see some of her outfits make a reappearance, but they're not on her.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. That's very interesting.
Yeah.
All right.
No, I don't think there's any outfit that and I totally could be wrong.
Yeah.
Because we said before, there are certainly people that, watching and catch other things. But as far as I know, I don't think anything is repeated.
I didn't think so, but I was just thinking about those two outfits that she's in, the one in this episode, and like I said, the one in season 6. And I was like, is that
the
same
thing?
No, the
one in season 6
is
definitely not this outfit.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, that's really interesting. And I like how that kind of, I'm not going to say Johnny has two or three suits, but I feel like Johnny's got two or three suits, and it's...
I think he has a lot of suits, but obviously not, it doesn't stand out
different
because it's
either
it's a
suit. Dark blue or gray, and Stevie seems to wear the same thing every time
we see
her.
Yeah, she usually just has tees and flannels and stuff
like
that.
That's pretty interesting. I didn't know that.
But I don't think anything ever gets repeated. I think that was something that was super important, and they really sought out clothing and
yeah,
and everything.
No, it's, know, for it's, this. Yeah, it's really great.
Most everything's like designer and yeah, and like, you know, famous names and stuff.
Very cool. So he is taking pictures of her, and she does not want this to happen.
Right.
She basically tells him to stop taking pictures several times, mm-hmm, and he does not. She finally sort of just gives in reluctantly.
Yeah.
And he tells her to go into the field, no further, into the, no, just go into the field. And he says, let the field reveal itself to you,
yeah,
which is...
The whole thing's super creepy.
It's horrible and it's uncomfortable. Yeah. And I guess these are the things that I think about most when I hear the title of this episode, which, mm-hmm, I guess is why, mm-hmm, initially I was like, I don't think I like this at all.
Yeah. Yeah. But it, and it's such a, I feel like Moira is, she's a self-confident, like she should be able to like stand up for herself from this, but...
Yeah, but I wonder how, you know, much she sees what's happening here.
Yeah.
Like, when he mentions that he was at the motel, mm-hmm, I feel like she's starting to get the idea of why he's really here. And, of course, now that they're not going into some sort of studio or something, as she's, mm-hmm, you know, saying, oh, you know, if we're,
yeah,
going somewhere, the backdrop should be whatever. I'm not exactly sure what she says.
Yeah.
But I think now that he's taking pictures of her outside in the middle of a field, dressed the way she is, I think she's starting to understand what's going on here.
Yeah,
and it's so, I guess so, uncomfortable just, yeah, watching it.
Yeah.
Let's go, like, I guess some time goes by because,
yeah,
David
it's
comes
the evening,
back. Yes.
Right.
David goes back to the motel,
mm-hmm,
and this is when he and Moira kind of talk about what happened,
right,
this whole,
like,
photo
why
shoot.
Did you, and why did you allow this,
right,
and everything.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she is in a panic, mm-hmm, because these pictures have been taken, mm-hmm, and he's visibly upset by this as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's again, sort of a nice exchange between the two of them about what we just watched, which I didn't enjoy watching.
Right, yeah.
So, but now... let's go to this basement rec room area. I'm not exactly sure where we're supposed to be here.
Yeah, I don't. I was wondering if it's like a church.
That's
or the town hall building maybe.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, we don't really. I don't know that we get an idea of where it's,
yeah,
at. But, yeah,
but
they're at the volunteer work.
Dance time.
And it's perfect because there's three cute little seniors.
Yes.
And I guess there's the instructor for the class.
Yeah, some woman,
right,
who appears to be in charge of this class.
Yeah,
yes.
And Ted and Alexis. So now there's partners for everyone. And Carol won't need to use the Swiffer.
Right.
Which, yes, was super cute and really funny.
Really great.
Yeah.
So, all right. So we should talk about these ladies. There's four of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, and maybe you can help me, mm-hmm, as I sort of go through the names. I know that Dot is the one that dances with Ted.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because she's the one that flips her off.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
The other names are Carol, Joan. I think Joan might be who dances with Alexis.
Yeah.
And then there's Linda. But I don't know, between Linda and Carol, I don't know who the other senior is, and I don't know who...
Well, Carol has to be a senior, because she wouldn't need the Swiffer to dance, I think.
Oh, okay. All right, yeah. So they do say... Okay,
I think,
great,
maybe Linda is the one that... That she may be the instructor.
The instructor. Okay. All right.
I'm not sure if I'm remembering that accurately.
No, that's fine. That's okay.
I think Joan, Carol, and Dot were the seniors.
Okay. So let's start with, mm-hmm, Linda then. Linda is played by Linda Goranson.
Oh. Okay.
Her first IMDb credit was in 1966.
Oh, wow. Well, maybe that's not right then. Maybe she's one of the seniors.
They've all been doing stuff for a very long time.
Know.
So
okay.
I don't know. Maybe she played a little kid in that.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is kind of fun. She was in one of my favorite movies I've talked about before, and we'll get into it. The 1987 movie, The Gate, a film that Moira's little sister was also in as a teen.
Right.
And she really, really made her career. She's got a long, extensive list of credits, but she made her career in TV movies. Just everything is just TV movie, TV movie, TV,
okay,
movie. She was in shows called, shows like Warehouse 13, mm-hmm, and Hemlock Grove, which we've talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And she was also in several episodes of The Moodies. with Sebastian Rain playing the grandmother of that family. Oh, so okay. Very cool. Let's talk about Dot. Dot is played by Shel Goldstein. Mm-hmm. She was in the films The Dream Team and PCU, and was in the PBS show The Odd Squad, which we've talked about. Mm-hmm. And Schitt's Creek is her most recent IMDb credit.
Okay.
So now let's go on to Joan, played by Joan Gregson. Mm. Her first credit was in 1973. She was in the Stephen King miniseries The Storm of the Century. She was in the movie My Babysitter's a Vampire and the TV series My Babysitter's a Vampire. She was also in It Chapter 2, which I think we talked about a few episodes back. Somebody was in It. And shows we're familiar with like Nikita, Haven, Saving Hope, and most recently, American Gods. Mm-hmm. And now, finally, let's wrap it up with Carol, played by Nora Sheehan, who was in Goosebumps, Queer as Folk, The Jane Show, Orphan Black, The Romanovs, and Blackout. Mm. And she was also in a series that I kind of wanted to know more about called Puppets Who Kill.
Oh.
And so I watched a trailer for it, and it seems like a gross, horrible humor with puppets. Oh, so, okay. On for 4 seasons for some reason, though. Right. It's about 4 puppets who live in a halfway house.
Oh.
So if anybody watches that or has watched it, I'm kind of interested in talking or hearing about it. Mm-hmm. So, yes. So those are the ladies who are here to dance. And weekly?
I don't know.
Monthly? I don't know. But they're very familiar with Ted. They all want to dance with
him.
Yes.
Yep. And Alexis realizes they smell kind of clean.
Right. Yep.
So.
Yeah.
They smell clean. Yep. So, and the ladies have all heard about Alexis.
Oh, of course. Yes. Right.
Yeah.
Because as we said.
They're not nice. They're not nice to her. Super mean to her.
No, not nice at all. Because I like how Alexis is dancing with Joan. And she says, does Todd have arthritis? Because it looks like she's flipping me off. And Joan says, oh, she has arthritis, but not in that hand.
Right. Yeah, no, they do not think highly of Alexis at all.
No, no. And we'll get into that and why. Well, I think we all know why.
Yeah.
But we'll get back into that in a minute.
Yep.
Because let's go to...
It's poker time. It's 7 o'clock.
Let's go to Bob's house for, I think, the first time ever. Right? So we've been inside Ronnie's house, Roland's house.
Yeah, we don't really get to see much of Bob's house, though.
Ray's house kind of slash business. And now we're finally in Bob's.
Yeah.
So Bob appears to be a very, very good poker player.
Mm-hmm.
He's winning almost every hand, I guess.
He has a cute little visor.
Oh, of course. Yeah, yeah, it's
as
really
does
great.
Gwen.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And all she seems to be doing is serving food
snacks.
And drinks, but she still wears the visor.
Yeah.
Bob gets up to leave, and this is where Johnny kind of...
Well, let's go... Yeah,
oh, go
we kind of mentioned, well, we like, all the people, but, like, yeah,
I only
this
mentioned
is
because of the houses.
The houses, right. But, like, everybody you mentioned is at the game.
Right.
So, yeah, it's Bob and Roland and Johnny, of course, and Ronnie and Ray. So it's basically, like, the town hall, the town council.
It's like the town council.
I mean, obviously, Ray
has
left town council.
But I'm sure that's where this got started in the first place.
Yep.
So they're all kind of sitting around, and Johnny suspects that Bob and Gwen may be cheating.
Yes. Like Gwen, as she's passing snacks,
right.
is checking out everybody's hands. Yes. And Bob's luck hold if Gwen is not here?
Right.
So if they send her away, I'm kind of surprised she's there to begin with. Because it, you know, we know things about Gwen. It seems like she would be off with people she met on the internet or something
like that. Yeah, but also if she, way to spoil something, but.
No, he talked about her internet searches.
Oh,
in a past
you're
episode.
Right.
I'm
yes.
not spoiling
okay.
anything.
All right, okay.
Yeah.
But also, listen, if they were cheating.
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't she be there for this? If they can clean up and she can get watches and who else, who knows what else, why not be here for this?
Yep.
Roland doesn't quite understand what Johnny's talking about.
Oh, yeah. As usual.
I think Roland considers murdering Gwen.
Yes.
When Johnny says we need to get her out of here.
Yeah, or get rid of her. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yes. And then, and he, so Bob comes back and Roland tries to take control of the situation.
This is like when they were doing the raw milk truck, right? Yes, where he tries to take control and it's and doesn't work and blows it's a disaster. It, like,
immediately. Yeah. Because the plan is to get Gwen to go out for more snacks. Mm-hmm. And
he basically says, like, we need to get rid of Gwen. Right, like, yes. He comes right out and says what needs to happen.
Yes. And then he almost goes to get the food because... Because Bob's like, well, wait, I guess, Roland, you could drive. And Roland's kind of like, yeah, I guess I could just drive to go get the food.
Right.
It's really funny. I like that Johnny decides to sort of step in and take control and refer to the fact that he needs food that's a little more kosher.
I think Bob says that. I don't know that Johnny... Does Johnny allude to that?
He does, because okay. That's
maybe
when,
I missed what that's he when had
Bob
said,
yells
because...
to Gwen, you called it. Because I guess Bob and Gwen had had this discussion knowing that Johnny was coming over and that they might not have the correct food to serve.
Yeah, because I have like that Bob said about like picking up kosher and gluten-free.
Right,
they also make mention of gluten-free snacks as well. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. After really complimenting Gwen on the food and the snacks and all that great stuff, too. So,
yeah.
So now let's go away from that game to David confronting Sebastian Rain about the photos.
And interestingly enough, we were just talking about the clothing and the outfits and everything. Mm-hmm. And I made note, David came in his leather jacket. I just, like, jotted that down, because we always see him in sweaters or other outfits. Right. But when the I'm assuming this is the same leather jacket he wore in the very first episode.
Oh, okay.
When they arrived.
All right.
So it's interesting that I was like, no, they're always in different stuff. And then I'm like, oh, wait, yeah, he was in that leather jacket, and it's probably the one. Because he just looked different. And I was wondering, like, is this his nod to, this is what I would have been like when I was with you, and I would have been in this jacket, and I'm maybe a little younger, and, you know.
I was wondering the same thing, and some of the stuff that you have mentioned about why he wears what he wears, and how
there's
it has
always
to
a
do,
reason,
and how it's not like, a comfortable sweater, how it's, like, more rough and abrasive, and how this is... all turns out to be some ruse that he's, you know, like, I wonder how much of it is that. So,
yeah. But I definitely wrote that down because he didn't look like comfortable David has looked over, you know, recent or not even recent episodes, but for a long time, kind of since he's arrived and has sort of settled in a little bit more.
Yeah.
You know, we don't see him in that jacket.
So I wrote this down, but I think I wrote it down wrong. What does Sebastian Rain say that his therapist says that he should never express?
He should never feel pain. His therapist told him that he should never feel pain. Yeah, because he definitely, like, they want to have, like, a just, you know, a creative discussion and everything. And he definitely, like, comes on to David and expects that, you know, like, that's why David's there and everything.
Even though David kind of makes it expressly... known why he's there. I mean, he really does say, why did you do that to my mother? Like, why did you take those pictures? Stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I guess initially...
Yeah, and that's when I think he says, instead of talking about, like, the pictures, let's have a creative discussion.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah.
So
but
now...
But yeah, the therapist. Yeah, right. Never feel pain. Right. I should never feel pain.
Right. So now let's go back to the dancing. And Joan really does... lay it all out for Alexis.
If like, it is Joan. I did not write down people's names
at all.
Fine.
No, that's okay.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, she's like, listen, we know about the engagement, the broken engagement. We totally get it. I mean,
and they said, like, we're all really fond of Ted.
Right,
like, basically
exactly.
meaning, like, we're defending Ted, and why would you ever have let him get away?
Right. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. But she also says something like, I'm sure you had your reasons. And even more than hating Alexis, I think this is, these women, or Joan, lets her know that he's still really into her.
Yeah, like he's still stuck on you, she
right,
said.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And this is where, I do like how this is where she offers to dance with Dot, but Dot would rather dance with the Swiffer right? than Alexis.
Yeah, because it's time to switch partners and right. stuff.
Yes,
yeah.
And I do like how immediately Alexis thinks that Ted's cutting in to dance with her, but no, it's to dance with Joan. Right. You know, yeah. They get pretty upset if they don't get equal time with right. him.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very nice. And I love how the scene ends with Alexis, of course, like contemplating all of this stuff.
Having a very been, like, coming to a realization.
I think. Also trying to appear to be comfortable not dancing with anyone at this time, too, which I thought was kind of fun.
Yeah.
So, let's go back to the poker party.
Mm-hmm.
Poker party? Poker game? Sure. Yeah. Why not? It's a party.
Yeah.
Bob is still winning, even without Gwen there. Yeah. He is still on a roll.
So they realize it wasn't Gwen.
Right. And immediately, Roland turns on Johnny, spills the beans.
Right. Yeah, Bob kind of figures it out and realizes, like, they thought he was cheating.
Yeah.
But then Bob goes through and how he's able to do it, because he can basically read
every one of them.
They
right.
all have, yeah.
They all have tells that he was
they
able to
They do not
pick
have
up.
A poker face.
No. No, no, no.
Yeah.
And I guess he was able to pick up on Johnny's in the course of one evening, right. too, which is great.
And it's kind of cute when he said, like, oh, we always just take the winnings and we put them right back in for snacks and all the stuff that they make.
It's very cute, except I think before this we kind of joked about it, but we do find out that Ray lost his watch.
And Gwen's wearing it as she's serving snacks.
At the end of this, it really is great. Yeah. How she's wearing it.
Yeah.
So not everything goes into snacks, I guess. And I do like how he's going around and pointing out everybody's tell.
Yeah.
And it's so great when he gets to Roland and says, do you even know the rules?
And he's like, no, I really don't.
Just not all of them, which I think is great.
Yep. It is. Yeah. It is kind of funny.
Yeah. So after all of this, Moira. Confront Sebastian outside of his room.
Yes.
About the, you know, she wants the camera and then it turns into, like, give me the memory
card. The card,
like that.
Yep.
Yes. I was just going to type something while you were talking, but you don't need to.
I don't have good notes about this section.
Oh, okay. So. Well, I'm just saying that she wants the card. He's not willing to give it back. They're having a brief discussion and then she notices that David leaves Sebastian's room.
Right.
And of course is the next day because, you know, poker nights happen, so he was in there that evening.
And she's kind of like, she couldn't believe that he did that. Yep. And is it a surprise or betrayal? But then David reveals that he has the memory card. And isn't it a shame that it fell out of his camera into his hand and then it fell into a drink and then he stepped on it.
Exactly. A lot, yes.
Yeah.
And it's really great. Like, it's really nice how Sebastian Rain has been defeated in his big plan.
Yeah.
David and Moira kind of walk away and are very satisfied with what they've done.
We both won.
Because
they both kind of got to, like, get back at him, I guess, if you put it that way.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah, certainly. It was really great. And that ends on a really high note. Mm-hmm. Like, it really ends on a great note. And I'm going to say the only two main characters who are left, you know, kind of not great or thinking about what they've done is Johnny and Alexis at the end of this episode, basically. Because now we go back again for another is it the next? Like, is this like a nightly thing, or are we just supposed to assume this is the following week?
Yeah,
like their weekly game.
Mm-hmm.
Johnny doesn't get any food.
Yeah, he's not allowed to have any snacks or food. Roland makes mention of playing Crazy Eights.
Yep. I don't know what Roland's and he's.
I didn't know because he was like the dealer, if he was like switching the whole game, or again, if it's just a nod to him not knowing the rules,
right? Exactly. Yeah,
I wasn't quite sure. Like,
right? Yeah, because I'm not a big card player, but if you're just casually playing, whoever deals can change rules and stuff.
And is Crazy Eights that, like, isn't that its own game?
It's a totally different game.
Right.
Yes.
But is that like something that can? It's not any reference to poker.
No, he's just saying things. He also doesn't know the names of cards either.
Oh, right.
So, mm-hmm. yeah, because you can, yeah. you know, you could be like, oh, in this hand, sixes are wild. Or wild, or
right.
like that.
Yeah, like I've heard all that kind of stuff. I don't know anything about yeah. poker. Like, no, whenever we play that game where we need to play a poker hand at the end to win the pot, I don't know what to do. No, so, yeah.
It's almost as though he's been doing this for several years, mm-hmm. and he's just picked up bits and pieces and
right,
words that
of other cards, anything related to cards, and throws it out.
Sprinkle okay. that throughout.
Yeah.
But yes, and the scene does, it's a really funny way to end the scene with just a sad Ray. Like, it's very weird.
Yeah, and this is actually where we see about the watch.
Yeah, the entire episode ends with Ray being sad that Gwen is enjoying his watch because he asks her if she's enjoying it. Right, she says yes. And, yeah. and then it's just a sad Ray face and cut to Gwen.
A sad Ray
face. It is. It's really great because
yeah.
you don't get that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know we talked about, you know, again, talking about different people's houses and stuff. Remember, that Ronnie episode ended with Ronnie and her significant other, like, in the house alone. Like, that's yeah. how that ended. And you rarely get an ending that isn't focused on the entire family or a member mm-hmm. of the family on screen in the end. So, very cool.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's how the episode ends.
Yeah. Wow. This is so great.
So, for regular listeners, or, well, I guess for new listeners, because regular listeners know this, at the end of every episode, we rank our Schitt's Creek episodes mm-hmm. from our most favorite to perhaps our least favorite episode. So, Carla, if this episode were a hand of poker, would you go all in, or would you fold?
Would I play Crazy Eights?
Would you
or
would
decide I play
to just change the game?
Change the game up? Throw out my card lingo that I have?
And I'll show you. Wow. This is getting more and more difficult to show you your list.
I know. My list doesn't fit all on one screen anymore.
It does, but it's not going to. It's really tiny. So here you go.
So, I'm torn about this episode. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's one of my favorites. Just because, like, the whole Sebastian Rain part, I don't really care for. But I think it played a purpose because, again, like, it's showing, like, David moving beyond things that happened in his old life, which I think is good. And this is also kind of showing Moira, like, moving past things, too. You know, so I mean, there's always a purpose, and I think there's always, you know, a reason that episodes are included sure. and things happen, you know, the way they do. And, I don't know, like, I like the little glimpse into the Alexis and Ted, like, mm-hmm. oh, you know, this realization that she has from the cute little old ladies. But yeah, like, I don't know. Like, I'm very torn about this episode. I would probably put this as maybe my new number 26, I'm going to say.
Okay.
Yeah.
Number 26, that would be beneath, oh man, how many times do I have to try and say the name of this episode? The Candidate.
The Candidate. Right. Candidate.
And right above Bob's Bagels for you. I think I might actually put it a little bit higher than you. I'm going to put it as my new 23.
Okay.
But it's for all the same reasons mm-hmm. that you said. There were things, like I said, I didn't know it was the poker episode. I didn't know it was the dancing with the older people episode. Mm-hmm. And I enjoyed both of those things. Mm-hmm. I didn't like Sebastian Rain as a... I know we're not supposed to like Sebastian. Like, right. I understand we're not supposed to like it, but it's one of those things where in a sitcom, and I know that there are serious things that happen in the show. I totally understand that. Mm-hmm. But there's something I don't like seeing the characters in the show uncomfortable. Like, I don't like that. Mm-hmm. That, to me, is reserved for, you know, two-hour movies mm-hmm. and stuff like that. In my comedy shows, I don't like to see it. Mm-hmm. And I understand that's the point of this. You should not enjoy, probably, mm-hmm. the scene where he's taking pictures of Moira.
Right. Right. It's designed to be that way. Yeah.
And even the little jokes that they put in, most of the jokes are delivered by Sebastian Rain. Mm-hmm. And I just, because I don't like the character, I don't mm-hmm. like the jokes. Mm-hmm. It's so dumb. But I think there were everything else that's in the episode I enjoyed a little more than I thought I was mm-hmm. going to. So that is where I am going to put it.
Okay.
So we're getting closer and closer to the end of season three and to our midpoint of the entire series. I can't believe it.
Right.
You know, I mean, mm-hmm. it's only taken us 2 years to get to this point. But next time we will be discussing an episode that I hate to go by just names of episodes uh-huh. because I don't know, but I believe it's a super fun episode,
yeah.
and it is the 11th episode of season three.
Stop saying lice.
So I am looking forward to that. Again, I only remember I only remember the lice stuff, and I'm sure listeners are really looking forward to any lice stories that we may have to share.
Oh, gosh, yeah. I don't know if they'll look forward to them. They might be scratching their heads afterwards.
Yeah, it might be our most head-scratching episode ever, yeah. and that's a lot,
yeah.
given we don't understand how units of measurement or speed are measured
right.
in outside of the U.S., I guess. So, everybody, thank you again for listening. We really do appreciate it. I get to see how many people listen every time we put out an episode, and it appears to be increasing.
Three or four?
Three to four.
Three to four people an episode.
We're all the way up to
Thanks for those
to
people
four.
That stand by us.
Yeah, one goes to my phone, one goes to you, and there's at least one other person that listens. So again, thank you so much for listening. And as I said before, we're more than happy to read reviews and just enjoy the interaction you guys give us sometimes as well. So thank you, and until next time we talk, have a great 2 weeks, everyone.
Warmest regards.